is Finch Natural History, trying out a new layout that may or may not be natural history oriented. And actually, we're trying out three layouts because I forgot to do this on Monday and Tuesday. So the first one is, just a second. Let me quickly obtain the necessary materials. Okay. The first layout I'm going to call In-Depth Discovery. So, in this, we would be basically we would be analyzing chapters from books that usually have something to do with animals, etc. Not Redwall. I mean, that's an example, but we're probably not going to do it. If those things are humongous. But more like Warriors, Guardians of Ga'Hoole, just things like that. So today I'm going to do a demo using the foreword of Guardians of Ga'Hoole, The Lost Tales of Ga'Hoole. And, some pretty magnificent spoiler alerts on this, as this first chapter is going to show. And, it'll probably be like that with most of the books we do. I'll try to do them in series order. Here I'm making an exception, but this is the foreword. So, yeah. So, the person writing, who is Sorin, and he signs as Sorin, Guardian Among Guardians, which he is. He's the main character in this series. And by the way, if you don't know anything about Ga'Hoole, then just listen, enjoy, and really check it out, and also check Warriors out if you haven't heard of it. So, greetings, dear readers. I come to you not as a monarch, but as an old friend from the great Ga'Hoole tree. I write at Otilissa's request, and she's like the scholar person who supposedly authors this book. Co-authors it with Catherine Lasky. So yeah. She asks that I give you news of the tree and introduce the tale she has gathered, and so I shall. Now, big spoiler alert now. It seems we have entered a time of blessed peace. The Striga and his vicious blue brigade fell in defeat many moon cycles ago. Moon cycles. I'm really used to saying what moons mean in Wings of Fire and Warriors, but here they're just moon cycles. Nyver and the Pure Ones are gone. And just so you know, those two are the main two antagonists throughout the books. Nyva is throughout the entire series, and the Striga is throughout the last, I think, 5 books. So 16-book series. 18 if you count this, and also the companion book, I think it's like Rise of a Legend. That talks about, Ethelrib. The dedication to learning fostered at the Great Tree has spread throughout the kingdoms, bringing with it the fresh breeze of knowledge and banishing the dank residue of ignorance, superstition, and malice. The arts of reading and even writing are no longer rare beyond the tree. I guess the implication here is that they were rare before. Yeah. They were rare before. Deep in the forest of Ambala, a simple printing press has been built with the help of the newly established Research and Printing Trawl. So that's like a... The best comparison I can make is an after-school club. With the help of the newly established Research and Printing Trawl from the Great Tree, which is like their home base. And these are just the peacekeepers. They spread peace and literacy and all that good stuff throughout the kingdom. Yeah. So that in that hidden dell, while great works enchanted into the emerald air, they are now put down in printed scrolls and books as well. This new press and our own press at the Great Tree supply a small but growing number of lending libraries that have been established in the Owl Kingdoms. So the great works from the tree, from the Gloxian Brothers and Gloxian Sisters retreats, and that's up in the far north. They talk about that in, I think, book book seven? I think it is book seven. And from the Library of the Others in the Palace of Mists, which is where, not Blythe, not Bash, not Bell, those are his three triplets, where someone, I should know the name of, resides. May be studied in distant dens and hollows by furred, scaled, and feathered scholars alike. Referencing, I guess, polar bears? I would assume they're not talking about, like, chipmunks and such, because those are the things they eat. So that'd be kind of weird. Scaled is easy, that's just snakes. Wine snakes, Kyrian snakes, whatever. And feathered, that's obvious. It is perhaps natural that in such times of outward peace, we look inward. And so it is that the personal, and in some cases secret, histories of our own guardians and others close to the tree, have now come to light. Ojalissa has studied, researched, and sometimes simply listened with a wise and sympathetic ear slit. And set down the tales for all to learn from. As you read these tales of personal history, private anguish, and worldly adventure, remember that not all battles are fought in the air or on the ground. Some, perhaps, the most difficult of all, are fought in our own gizzards, hearts, and brains. I submit these tales to you with respect and affection. And then Sorin, guardian among guardians. Da! Yeah. Okay. So that's our first format. And most of the chapters we analyze will probably be a little longer than 2 pages. But that's a sampling of what that format would be like. And then, depending on where applicant, we would probably dive deeper, give foreshadowing, all kinds of stuff. Especially with Warriors, which has a ton going on. And that's probably the first book I would start with. But I didn't have it immediately available, so... That was not an option. And then the next format is deep, in-depth covering of one particular topic. Now, I didn't research this at all, so just give me a second. I'm going to think about whether I want to just tell you what it's like or actually pick a subject for us to do this on. Okay, hold up. Okay, so, I went and got some stuff, and we're going to be doing an in-depth analyzation of, just goes to show how absolutely little I researched this stuff. We're going to be doing something on hairy reptiles and furry fish. Chapter 7, The Search for the Last Undiscovered Animals, which is my source, that I have open right now. And it starts off with a quote that says, and just so you know, if this is sounding a little like what we just did, that's because when my research that I just did was to pick this, open up to a random chapter, and start reading. So, yeah. So, starts with the quote, in her abnormalities, nature reveals her secrets. And that's Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, it's G-O-E-T-H-E. And then it talks about how it's very disarming when... hairy reptiles and furry fish pop up in the cryptozoological record. And, that's what this is. It's a book of cryptozoological cases. and then someone methodically going through and analyzing them and giving possible candidates. So, New Guinea's elusive hairy lizards. Take, for instance, the seemingly lost hairy lizards of Papua. And then there is an excerpt from Charles A. W. Monckton's book, Last Days in New Guinea, 1922. So, basically, the excerpt describes, he left a station, he was on his way to a mountain, and he went to a gold working on the Ikora River, being worked by two men called Bruce and Erickson. Underneath one of the main spurs of the mountain, and here we found something very interesting. They had disclosed small caves full of stalactites and stalagmites, and they told me that they had washed out a number of animals or reptiles resembling large lizards with hairy or furry skins. Unfortunately, they had preserved no specimens, and I was unable to discover one. I left the miners a small tank of spirits in case any more should be found, as, if the description given to me was correct, the animal was probably new to science. It was most regrettable that no more were ever discovered. And yeah, it is regrettable. But hardly unprecedented in cryptozoology, whatever. Assuming that these were reptilian and not some form of marsupial, monotreme, and any other mammal, then they probably would have been new to science. And he says he cannot think of any known New Guinea mammal that could be readily confused with a lizard. And this goes on for another half a page, one page, two page, three page, four. So, four pages. And usually these things would be like 40 minutes long, these kinds of episodes. And then my last, and I'm going to call that, like, in-depth coverage. Sorry, my birds just went absolutely crazy. And so this next one I'm going to call Ramble, Ramble, Ramble. That's what it is. Ramble, Ramble, Ramble. This is going to be me talking about pretty much anything I want. Yeah, right. Very, very unorganized, in case you hadn't picked that up already. So, let's talk about, birds. Feathers, yada yada yada, over 10,000, could be as many as 18,000. Constantly being discovered, more species are being split and discovered than are being lumped. Split means, like, so if you have a species with two different subspecies, and someone decides these are different enough to a point where they should be separate species, that's species splitting. And then lumping is when you have two different species, maybe even the same ones in some cases, like that of the yellow-rumped warbler. They were two different species, and then they were lumped together because someone thought, wow, these are so similar, they should be one species. And they might be split again next year. By the ABA, which is like American Birders Association. Which also recently merged with the AOS, and I think they're keeping the ABA name. I find that endlessly confusing. But, yes. So, basically, the thing with this is to keep up a steady stream of volume. Yeah. And then, let's talk about nominate and unnominate subspecies. I did this, well, I talked about this in a comment for Strange Animals Podcast, which is the best podcast ever. Well, the best podcast ever, one of the best podcasts ever, second to none, on tie with a few. They're not in the same category, I might have just said that, sorry, recording error, blah, blah, blah. You're probably used to this by now. So they're pretty great. And so I commented and talked about nominate and unnominate subspecies. So nominate are the first species described. So if you have a species, and then someone names it. And maybe they named it Finnish Fakus. That's a horrible name. It sounds like a Finnish fake. So then it would be Finnish Fakus Fakus, because that was the first subspecies ever described. Then if you found another subspecies, then you would call this one Finnish Fakus Truthus. Finnish Fakus Truthus. And so the nominate subspecies is the one that was first discovered and shares the same name as the species name in the scientific name. And scientific names are genera plus species equals scientific names. And no species can have the same scientific name as another species. Which came up with a dinosaur called Mononychus or Mononychus. And so it was called Mononychus with a C originally, but then it turned out that was already being used for a very obscure kind of beetle. So then they turned it into Mononychus with a K. And it didn't change the meaning. Everything worked out. So, we just spent 16 minutes and a half just talking about three different things. I'm really excited about the first one we talked about. A little less excited about the second one. And downright disapprove of the third one. But who knows, maybe someone likes it. And I'll just do whatever someone comments. So yeah, I'll have to stop this. And enjoy. Yeah.